Hello and welcome to the Virtual School Meanderings podcast for the month of May. I know this isn't being posted in the month of May. It's actually being posted in the month of June. It's going to be backdated to May. This is actually the second presentation that I recorded at the American Educational Research Association's annual meeting that was held at the end of April, early May. The first one was the April podcast, and the third one, which I'm hoping to post in the next couple of days, will actually be a special edition podcast. Because I don't want to use it for June. I'm hoping to have some other things for June. This particular presentation was entitled Duck and Cover, Are Rural Students Taking Basic Courses to Avoid Taking Them Online? It was a roundtable that was sponsored by the Rural Education Special Interest Group. It was presented by Dennis Mulcahy, a faculty member at Memorial University of Newfoundland, and myself. Actually, I was the one doing all of the talking because Dennis wasn't able to join me this year. The abstract for the presentation read, as out-migration ravages rural regions in Newfoundland and Labrador, more schools are relying upon virtual schooling to offer courses students require to graduate. There were concerns that virtual schooling has been shown to be an effective alternative, primarily for a select group of students. However, with a wider range of students forced into this largely independent learning environment, data from Ministry of Education reports indicate that rural schools who rely upon the CDLI for their required course offerings have a higher than average enrollment in basic level courses. If the reason for this is due to students trying to avoid online courses, significant changes are required in the design, delivery, and support of the province's virtual schools. So the presentation is, like I say, it's a roundtable. It lasts about 8 minutes long before the questions start. So I'll turn it over to the recording from that day, and then we will pick it up again when that's done. The study takes place in Newfoundland, Canada, which is the most easterly province of Canada. 500,000 people live there. It's roughly the geographic distribution of California. Two-thirds of the province is the northern portion that's actually attached to the rest of the country, and there's about 35,000 people living there. So most of the population lives on the island portion, which is like a six-hour ferry ride from the mainland, and about 60% of the population live within an hour's drive of the capital. Rural in Canadian standards is defined as any community with less than 5,000 people, according to stats. There are about 400 schools, actually it's closer to 360-something now. About half of them have less than 200 kids. 25% of them have less than 50 kids. It's not uncommon to have a rural all-grade school, so K to 12, that has like 30 kids in it. We've had a distance ed program in the province since 1988-89. It started with the old telematics or audiographic system, the one that had, you know, the little speaker box with the little mic that you pushed on the button and the computer screen that when the person in usually in St. John's, in the capital, would show up on their computer screen. In the late 90s, that started to transition over into web-based systems, mostly in these district initiatives for advanced placement. In 2000, 2001, they started a province-wide virtual school, which is the only distance ed entity in the province now. This particular study looks at enrollment statistics from that province-wide virtual school. For a lot of the rural schools in the province, the only way a kid can get an academic level course is to take it online through the virtual school. The virtual school doesn't offer any basic level courses, and in Newfoundland, at least within the English curriculum and the math curriculum, there is like a basic level, an academic level, and with the math, an advanced level. If you take the basic level curriculum, you aren't eligible for college or university. And for us, college isn't college like it is in the U.S. College for us refers to what you guys would consider community college or trade school. So essentially, these guys, if they take the basic courses in high school, have no post-secondary options available to them whatsoever. What we've been looking at over the years, Dennis and I, at student performance in the virtual school, trying to determine whether or not essentially, the students were doing as well in the virtual environment as they were in the classroom environment. And beginning with those district-based AP initiatives, one of the things we found was the results are fairly comparable. The problem is when you look at the literature around virtual schooling, for that matter, K-12 distance ed in general, one of the things that you find is that the type of student that enrolls in a virtual school or a distance ed environment tends to be a very select type of student. There's one quote that I always love using.
Yeah, it comes from Holly Muirhead. Describe virtual schools. I'm looking on page 5 here. Describe virtual school students as independent, high-achieving, motivated, self-directed, self-disciplined, and technically savvy. Doesn't exactly sound like your typical high school student. So one of the things that you have to start asking yourself when you look at a lot of this literature that says, you know, online or distance ed students do as well as classroom-based students, if the distance ed students are like your best and brightest and your classroom students contain everybody else and they're still only doing as well, you know, what's wrong with the system? But that's a different study for a different time. What we were interested in, because we had been finding these similarities in terms of performance, and when we started talking to teachers and administrators, there was this belief that students were taking basic level courses simply to avoid taking an online class. So when they get to grade 10, if the only way they could do academic math was to do it online, they would decide that, okay, I'm going to screw my entire future and, you know, have a menial minimum wage job for the rest of my life simply because I don't want to do an online course. So what we wanted to do was look at the actual enrollment statistics to figure out, is that actually the case? So we started off with, at the time, what was the most current data available to us, which was for the 07-08 school year. Obviously, the 08-09 is now available, and in a month's time, 2 months' time, the 09-10 data will be available to us. And worked our way back. We managed to get 5 years of data into SPSS by the time this was due, so it goes from 03-04 to 07-08. Starting on page 9, you start to see some of the results. Looking first at the basic level math courses, you see the percentage there when you look at the province as a whole. When you look at the entire population of students doing it at a distance, you look at the entire population of students that are at what is considered rural schools, and then you look at those rural schools that rely upon distance for some or all of their academic curriculum. And there's two things that you immediately see. The first is that the rural average tends to be 5% or higher than the provincial average when you look at the basic courses, at least for the math. And then that jumps another couple of percent, in some cases another 5 to 10%, when you look at those rural schools that rely specifically upon distance education for their academic offerings. When you look at the English, which is table 2 there on the lower part of the page, it started off actually very similarly. Rural schools tended to have a higher percentage of basic level students than the provincial average. When you looked at the early years of the CDLI, which is our provincial virtual high school, you see that the percentage or the proportion of basic level students at rural schools that relied upon distance education was actually astronomical compared to the provincial average. You see it's actually a difference of 25% there in that, not 25%, 27%, 35% in that first year. Now, at least in the English curriculum, you see they've gotten a little bit better to the point that if you're at a rural school that relies upon distance education for your English offerings, you actually have a better chance of being in the academic curriculum than you do if you're just at a rural school in general. 26% there compared to 33% in just rural schools in general. Still not down to the provincial average, which you can see stays fairly consistently year to year. What you can say there is something is going right in recent years in the English, while in the math it's still not doing quite as well. I mentioned that the math also comes in an advanced form as well, and it's interesting when you look at the enrollment for the advanced level courses broken down by delivery model. You'll see it's about 20% most years on the provincial average. I'm at the bottom of page 10 here. You'll see the rural average is actually fairly close, usually 1 or 2% lower. But when you look at the rural schools that rely upon distance, that number jumps from year to year. Some cases it's a couple of percent higher. Some cases it's almost 10% higher. So while you get a higher percentage of students electing to take the basic curriculum in those rural schools at a distance, you also get a higher percentage of students taking the advanced level curriculum as well. Obviously, just looking at the statistics of this, we can't speculate as to why there's a higher percentage at the basic level. If it is indeed in fact, students avoiding taking an online class, and that's why they're enrolling in the basic. But the first step, obviously, in that question was, you know, is the perception of the teachers in these rural schools accurate when you look at the data? And the perception does bear out the reality. There is a higher percentage of basic level students in rural schools, and an even higher percentage of basic level students in rural schools that rely upon distance ed. A couple of things we'd like to do with this, obviously, get there's 1 year of data that would be on the front end of this, that we, you know, essentially the 2002-03 year that we'd like to add in there. And then the two most recent years, or the most recent year and the current year, we'd like to get in there to see if the trend continues, particularly with the English, because then it begs the question of, you know, what are they doing in English that they're doing right that isn't happening in the math? And then start talking to some of these students to find out, you know, why is it that you're in a basic level course? Because there's two things going on here. First, there's the distance aspect, but there's also a statistically significant issue with just rural schools in general. You know, the percentage of basic level students in rural schools, regardless if they rely upon distance ed or not, is higher than what you find in urban areas. And, you know, the question I want to know is why. I can speculate as to a lot of reasons. Lack of senior teachers, lack of experienced teachers, lack of professional development for those teachers in those areas. Unlike the U.S., it's not a pay issue. Because everything is paid out of the provincial coffers, so in a rural area you're getting paid the same as in a suburban or urban area, so that's not one of the things. Quality of life issues with the teachers and stuff like that.
And this is basically where the questions started. Most of the questions dealt with people who were trying to figure out more information about the way distance ed is offered in the province and trying to get a better sense as to the statistics that were actually presented in the paper. The paper should be available soon. We're hoping to add those three extra years of data that were mentioned in the actual roundtable session, and then update the manuscript and send it off somewhere. Hoping that will be done early in the fall. So keep an eye out for that. Otherwise, that has been another edition of Virtual School Meanderings Podcast. I'll see you all in a couple of days when I get the other AERA special issue podcast available. Thanks for listening.